thing, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd speak to us now. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to get out of our comfort zone and recognize that we can glorify You in many ways. Lord, help us to glorify You now by listening to Your Word. I pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I want to give you the first point tonight. Do the right action. Do the right action. Now, we're going to build on this, but please understand this. Do all things without. That word without suggests isolation. The Apostle Paul says, listen, there's something that you need to be isolated from. We're hearing today about the Zika virus. You know, there's been all kinds, Lyme disease, you name it. There's been stuff that we've heard about that we think, man, we don't want anything to do about it. Give us the bug spray, you know, isolation, do whatever you got to do, but we don't want this. Paul says, you don't want to do this. Do all things without, isolate yourself away from murmurings and disputings. You know, complaining and murmuring and all that, it's interesting. Somebody said complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not when it comes out of your own. That's the truth. You know where murmurings come from? Murmurings come from discontented souls. You know what discontent is? Discontent is arm in arm with unbelief, you and I telling God, you don't know how to run my life. You don't know how to do me good. Because the fact of the matter is, the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But if we're not rejoicing, if we're complaining, if we're murmuring, then you know what we're telling God? You messed up. You know, Lord, can't You do right by me? Will not the God of all the earth do right? Except we're not saying it like Abraham said it. We are absolutely discontented. We can be discontented with our circumstances. Someone seeming to get ahead of us or do whatever, or they took advantage of us, you know, a bad boss, a bad this, a bad whatever. And what winds up happening? We start talking. Oh, it starts in here. See, it's called self-talk. And then self-talk looks for a listening, sympathetic ear. And it continues from there. This is one of the things you've got to listen. As we're going to read here, if the Lord spends a lot of time on telling us about something, He usually has a reason for it. If He tells about something in Scripture, it's one of the things that grieves the Holy Spirit. Because again, you're telling God, you done did wrong. That's exactly what it is. The children of Israel almost drove Moses to distraction with it. Just listen to this. Came across this list, and of course we read this all the time in Scripture if you're going through in the Word of God. But here was Israel. Now they have seen the miracles of God in Egypt, right? I mean, how in the world can you explain when Egypt is being devastated and what you own is doing fine? They have darkness, you have light. Their water turns blood red. I mean, it's blood. Ours is fine. You know, their cattle is destroyed. Ours is doing great. It goes on and on and on. They saw this. And then came that fateful night of the angel of death. And the Egyptians gave them abundance and said, get out of here! We don't want you here! And they said, okay, see ya! And they leave, and then Pharaoh says, I did a boo-boo. These people have been, as it were, free labor. We're going back to get them. And what happens? Israel is caught between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, and what do? They complain. They'd go to Moses and say, you know what, because there were no graves in Egypt, you brought us out here to die. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, they're learning. Praise God, they're learning. You know, how many of you have never complained? How many of you battle complaining? Seriously. You know, there are some things that we battle with that, you know, we might not like to admit to. I just got an email from a friend of mine, a godly man, a great man of God. I didn't realize by his own confession how much he worried so much. And I thought, man, I thought I had a lot to learn there. But you know what? This is all of us. We deal with it. We deal with anger. We deal with complaining. We deal with fear. We deal with lust. We deal with desire for things of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We deal with it. Now here's Israel. They're complaining. What in the world's going to go on? And then the Lord says, you know, he says through Moses, see these people, you'll never see them again. And of course, Israel saw them dead on the shore after he opened the Red Sea. You know, it's just a little bit of a feat, right? I mean, after all, it was something natural that took place. That's called stupid. This was a miracle. They marched on through. He collapsed the water on the Egyptians. And what happened? They joy and rejoiced and never had a problem again because they fully trusted God. Amen? Yeah, I didn't think so either. Here it is. No, seriously. Here's a list. They murmured when they came to Marah. They were thirsty. They murmured when they came to the wilderness of Sin. And they were hungry. They chided Moses at Rephidim when they were thirsty. When Moses stayed too long on the mount, they went to Aaron and said, we don't know what happened to this guy. Make us a god. They complained about the manna. Even Aaron and Miriam complained. They found fault with Moses. When the 10 of the 12 spies went negative, they murmured, why did you bring us out here? And then there was the rebellion of Korah with Dathan and Abiram. They disputed with Moses. They murmured against him. Says, you know what? You take on too much. When God killed them, the Bible says Israel murmured against Moses after they had seen his power. Do you kind of get the idea? You can go through the book of Exodus, you can go through the book of Numbers, and you see these people over and over and over. And we look at the scripture, and of course this is a thing of, you know, we've got it together. We look at that and we go, man, I can't believe these people, they're nuts. We'd have been right in there with them. Don't you think? By the way, you know, the Bible says in Adam we all sinned. You know what that means? If we'd have been there, we'd have sinned too. See, we're not separate from these difficulties. We're not better than anybody else. And so the Apostle Paul comes along and he says, listen, the first thing I'm telling you, you've got to do the right action, and there's a reason for it, but you've got to do the right action. You've got to do the right thing. They continued to complain. The Lord even sent fiery serpents. It went on and on and on, but surely it stopped in the New Testament. Amen? It stopped with the local church. No, it didn't. Acts chapter 6. What was the first thing that we read about the local church in Acts chapter 6. You find it in verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Listen, we've got men, we've got women. We've got older people. We've got younger people. We've got teenagers. We've got children. We've got older adults. We have multiple races. Do you know that Satan, at one time or another, can come in and infect, in any one of those areas to cause a division, to cause a murmuring. Well, this has been years ago, but we had a woman that got angry and left our church because, you know, be still my heart. We had in the budget $50 a month for the teenagers. Now that's what she said. And you know, Brother Roger, you understand this, you know. There's always four reasons why somebody leaves a church. The reason they tell you, the pastor, the reason they tell others, the reason they tell themselves, and the real reason. There's all kinds of reasons, you know, when we murmur. Pastors can murmur against the people. The people can murmur against the pastor. Listen, this isn't good because of what it leads to. The point is this. The Apostle Paul says, here is something that like a cancer, like a disease, you need to be separate from. Don't be a part of it. I praise God, I've mentioned this before, that we've always had, I can't think of one bad church meeting that we've had. I really can't. There was one that was a little testy, but that was it. That was it. That was no problem at all. Let's keep that going by understanding this. We can do the right thing. Amen? This is, and you'll see why this is so important. These things were beginning to surface at Philippi. We like watching Andy Griffith. We like Barney Fife. Barney Fife says this, nip it in the... Exactly. That's exactly what Paul was trying to do here. He wanted to nip this in the bud. This word, by the way, and I'm not going to go into it, but this word, the Greek word that translates murmur here, it mimics the sound that is made when people are talking. You're talking about people that, by the way, it's not about murmuring against God. It's talking about mankind. It's talking about people. And so, you know, people get carried off, you know, here and there. By the way, if you have a problem with the pastor, come to the pastor. If you have a problem with somebody, go to somebody. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Well, I'm just doing this because I'm wanting them to pray with me about it. So let me see. You're going to sin against God to ask for wisdom from God to deal with a difficulty that you want God to help deal with. We don't do that. You know, you have a problem, you go to somebody else. You go to the person that you have the problem with. Again, I haven't heard anything, but then again, if somebody was having a problem with the pastor, I wouldn't hear of it until half the church found out about it. I'm just, you know. But again, this has the idea of something that hasn't risen to loud dissension yet. But it's just kind of being passed through. It's just by kind of talking. He says, don't do it. Don't do it. It's interesting, this word is found in a secular document in an interview between a rebel and Marcus Aurelius. The veteran, he stops with a remark of this to the emperor. He says, Lord, while you're sitting in judgment, the Romans are murmuring. They're talking. By the way, we hear a lot of talk when it comes to politics today. Let's not mimic that in the church. Amen? Let's not do that. See, murmurings lead to disputes. He says, no murmuring or disputing. Disputing, now we've got a big problem. Because it's gone from just a little bit of talking here and there to now where we have dissension in the camp. People are going and they are openly discussing and they're saying, I don't want this. We can't have this. They're going to somebody else other than someone who can take care of the situation. Folks, the reason why God spends so much time in the book of Exodus and in the book of Numbers about murmuring and disputing, etc., is because it's part of the human character. It is. People having difficulty getting along. The Scripture is saying, we don't have to have this. And there's a definite reason why we shouldn't have it. And I'll show you why. You see, we do the right action. Number two, to be the right testimony. Look at verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, there's something about being blameless that is a precious gift that we need to take care of. There's something about being blameless in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man, a pastor, that I very much looked up to. He was a godly man. He was a good man. I think he's with the Lord now. I'm not going to give you his name. This man was in an auto accident. I mean, he was literally sitting at a stoplight when a woman hit him doing 35 miles an hour. Pow! He died twice on the operating table. His heart stopped. He was a pastor. He was back east. He was very well known and well liked. He's a great preacher. He wound up in his later years dealing with a lot of pain. The man had been saved out of alcohol. So he already had, many years before, he already had a little bit of that in him. He was taking pain medication to help with his back and other issues because of the accident. A friend of his who was a physician, but not thinking spiritually, said, listen, in order to help you sleep, this is what you need to do. Take a little bit of wine at night. First of all, that's not the right thing to do. Secondly, he went ahead and did it anyway. And it wound up working with the medication that he took. That was it. Here was a pastor, very well known back east, who wound up not being arrested once, but several times for being drunken in public, driving under the influence. It was a sad, sad situation. He came here on the West Coast and he preached to where my kids heard him preach. And I said, oh, I know him. That is, boy, praise God. I wanted them so much to listen to what he had to say. What I didn't realize is what I found out really soon later on. That Saturday night, he had a meeting with his deacons. And he wound up having to resign from his church. I read his letter, and I was just reminded of it recently. It was on the internet. I wasn't looking for it. It just wound up, it was there. But he resigned from everything he was part of. He resigned from the boards that he was at, and he resigned from his church, a good church. And one of the things he said was this, I'm no longer blameless. It's terrifying to a pastor to all of a sudden find themselves in a situation because they were not using, discernment, to wind up putting themselves in a situation where they're no longer blameless. That's why we've got to be careful. Not only pastors have to be careful, God's people have to be careful. Why? Because we need to have the right testimony. Because the answer is not in politics, is not in entertainment, it is in Jesus Christ. And listen to this. He says that you might be blameless and harmless. That word means unmixed, unadulterated. It had to do with metals, or it had to do with wine that was not mixed with water or metals that was not mixed with an alloy. It's absolutely pure. He says that's what you are to be. Blameless, harmless, simple concerning evil. We don't have to realize, we don't have to be up with everything that's going on in the world. We don't have to be involved. There was one thing that I did one time that really was really honestly quite stupid. I can't remember if I've told this about this before or not. Forgive me if I've mentioned this already. But there was something that I did one time. There was a man that I knew, and he's a good man, and he's still a very good man. And he studied rock and roll, and he listened to hundreds of albums. He says, I wish I'd have never done it. That stuff is in my mind now. I did something one time as a youth pastor. Actually, as a Christian school teacher, I take that back. All of a sudden, these things known as music videos were coming along. And I thought, I gotta see what's fascinating to some of these teenagers. So I went to one of the teenagers and I said, tell me two of them that people are so locked up into right now. One of them was done by Prince. By the way, Prince was not a Christian. He was absolutely, positively not a Christian. He had a Jehovah's Witness background. But he was not good. I didn't watch it all, but I wish I hadn't watched any of it. That was a stupid thing to do. I wanted to find out, what is it that's getting these kids? You know something? I've got, and it's not, you know, the memory has faded. But I could probably stop and think about some of the stuff that I saw in that video, and I think, you know what? It wasn't worth watching. We need to be simple. In other words, we just need to stay away from that. We don't need to know about the wickedness that's going on in the world. It's hard enough sometimes to talk with this about this stuff. Like the Apostle Paul said, we want to remain ignorant of it. We don't need to be worldly wise. He said, without rebuke, in other words, without blemish, in a crooked and perverse generation. But notice what he says here. Whereas you shine as lights, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That word that's translated lights there has to do not with lights like this, but the stars, the heavenly bodies. Have you ever been out in the desert or someplace in the mountains when it's a clear sky, it's moonless, and you see the stars? Isn't that great? He says that's how a blameless Christian, a harmless Christian, shines. There's a beauty to it. Stands out. He says that's what we wind up being. We are luminaries according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone wrote, the degree to which our testimony for Christ approaches the standard set in Philippians 2, 14 and 15, what we just read, is the degree to which we have truly learned the principles of living our new life in Christ. But folks, here's the challenge. It's like this morning's message. There's four types of people. There's the simple, there's the scorner, there's the fool, and there's the wise person, right? And the challenge came. Which one are you? Remember Proverbs chapter 1? How long? Can I ask you something? How many people, maybe even some of you, walking through the double doors, within just a couple of hours, forgot the challenge? In other words, the challenge of being wise versus being simple, foolish, or a scorner, all of a sudden we just kind of forget. And so when the challenge comes to get into the Word of God, get into prayer tomorrow morning, we just kind of forget it. It's the same thing with this. We wind up letting this kind of fade away. Tomorrow, where no one else is that's in the church, tomorrow you could be in a place where you need to shine as a light. Where you need to be seen as blameless and harmless. I can wind up being in that kind of situation. See, here's what takes place. When a non-Christian sees a professing Christian at work, at home, wherever, that's argumentative, hard to get along with, worldly in behavior, worldly in conversation, the unbeliever soon forms a poor opinion of the Christ of that person. You're no different than anybody else. There was a man, I'm forgetting his name right now. Again, he's with a well-known organization. But he was speaking with someone that had to do with the pornography situation and was tied to like Marriott and others, you know, with what people, you know, will watch and such. I'm forgetting exactly how this came up. But the fellow said, do you realize that one of the times we have the biggest demand for pornography in our rooms is when groups like yours check in? Christian groups, conventions, organizations that are away from home, and they wind up ordering pornography. I thought that was interesting. That's why Jack Treiber, Pastor Jack Treiber, when he got to traveling, and honestly, I haven't done this. I've done it a few times, but not always. When he goes into the room, one of the first things he does is he puts a towel over the television. This ain't gonna watch it. When a non-Christian comes into a congregation of Christians and finds people quarreling, complaining, in a carnal spirit, you think that person is gonna want to stick around? You see? Robert, this is about your third Sunday here, right? You know, if Robert looks around and he sees God's people, you know, just complaining, whatever, why would he want to stick around? The world's like that. Right? We don't have to do what the Israelites did in the wilderness. We don't have to do that. The Apostle Paul, when he gives a command through the Holy Spirit, understands that with that comes the power of God and the ability to keep that. We should avoid those things. We might think, well, you know, it's just a little bit here and a little bit there. Let me tell you something. There's a man, a pastor, and he was an author by the name of Ed Rowell. He wrote this. He says, when I was young, a neighborhood family came down with a devastating illness. Several of the children died, and the rest suffered permanent brain damage. What investigators discovered was that the father had found a truckload of discarded seed corn and fed it to the family hogs. The corn, not intended for animal feed, had been treated with something so bugs wouldn't eat it before it germinated. The hogs ate it, seemingly with no ill effects. But when the family hogs became the family breakfast, the family was poisoned. The pesticides, the heavy metals, lead and mercury, do not pass through the digestive system. They remain in the body in tiny doses, but the doses build up. And if we persuade ourselves that in tiny doses we can murmur and we complain, we've got a problem. 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. James 5:9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know what? This is what the world's going to do. They're going to get us one way or another with our religion, with biblical Christianity. That's how they're getting us. They're not going to come in and they're not going to threaten us so much with, we'll take away your tax exemption, although they'll do that. But this is what they'll do. You're discriminating. You hate. See, they'll do that kind of thing. They'll try to show us that we are to blame. This is what they did with Daniel. The presidents, Daniel 6 says, the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any fault, either error or fault found in him. That's how they did it. They found fault when it came to his walk with God. The fact of the matter is, that's how we want to be found fault with. We don't want to be found in fault with our complaining, with a lack of testimony. We want them to see that by God's grace, we're faithful to the Word. Now we say, that's hard. Yeah, it is. That's why we need to be in prayer. We need to be in the Word. We need to be wise. We need to make the choice to be wise. Paul commanded the church at Philippi to do this. We can do it. No wonder Paul's testimony was in Acts 24, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Which brings us to the last point. Number one, do the right thing. Number two, to be the right testimony. Number three, to offer the right answer. We have the answer, don't we? Look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. That phrase, holding forth, is the translation of a Greek term in secular documents of offering something to drink, wine, whatever, to a guest. It means to hold forth so as to offer. You see, that's what we're offering, to give the right answer. Holding forth the word of life is to be part of our manner. Absolutely. Being the testimony is one thing. Giving the cause for the testimony that we have is something else as well. There was a young woman. Her name was Ann Steele. She went through one trial and disappointment after another. Absolutely prime for murmuring and complaining. Her mother died when she was 3 years old. When she was 19, she suffered a severe hip injury that left her invalid. Eventually, she fell in love with and was engaged to a man. But the day before their wedding, he drowned. She had a tough life. She penned the following song. Father, whate'er of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accepted at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm, a thankful heart, from every murmur free. the blessings of Thy grace impart, and make me live to Thee. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Why? To be the right testimony, to give, to offer the right answer. Do you deal with murmuring? Do you deal with disappointment? We all do. Do you want to be a local fellowship that trusts the Lord? Amen. You're scaring me, folks. Maybe it's because it's a quarter after seven and somebody's quarter ran out. I hope and pray this is a challenge to us. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be people that are satisfied with You. You are more than enough. Lord, I pray that discontent would not find a home in our hearts. That we wouldn't be murmuring, complaining, disputing. I pray that You'd help us to see that we are to be the ones that shine as the heavens in front of a world that is sick in its sin. Lord, I pray that we, Your people, would not only be seen as a testimony of Your goodness and grace, but we would be bold in offering it to others. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.